Welcome to This Offensive Lane.
Welcome back to This Offensive Lane. My name is Sponge, and I am joined by my wife,
Mrs. Sponge.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right.
Good, how's it been?
Not too bad. It's been an all right week.
Good, I'm glad. You had fun?
Yeah.
You enjoy the football this weekend?
I feel like I didn't watch the football this weekend.
You did miss at least two games.
I know I missed two full games.
Yeah.
But even the other two, I felt like I didn't even really watch them.
No.
But then again, what was it? What was the first game? The Texans-Ravens.
It was a good first half.
It was a bit... I just couldn't get into it. I felt it was really boring and slow.
It's fast-paced. But the full game that you got to watch was one of the exciting games.
Did I watch a full game?
Yeah, on the Sunday. Day two. The first game on the Sunday. The Detroit Lions and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Clearly it left an impression. So, yeah.
Are we sure I watched that whole game?
I don't know.
I don't think I did.
It was definitely on and you were in the room.
Yeah, I was.
So whether you watched it is a different story, but it was definitely on the television and you were in the room when it was on for the entirety.
For the entirety?
Yes.
Wow. What time did the game start at?
Well, maybe not. The first 5-10 minutes of the second half. I think you'd kind of... No, that's a Saturday. That was a Saturday. The Ravens game at halftime, we were doing some housework.
I can't remember last weekend. I really can't. This is why I watched the highlights before we do this. Just to recap some stuff. Because to be honest, even if I wrote notes as the games were going on, I'd look at my notes going, okay, I don't remember a single thing. So I'd have to watch the recaps. Or is it recaps? Is that the right word?
The replays.
But then again, I barely remember yesterday.
So what you're saying is we could do the podcast just after the game is finished, and you'd be like, what do my notes mean?
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
okay. Interesting. Okay, well, let's just talk about the games, since we're on that topic anyway.
Okay.
And start with that game one, Houston Texans, Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
With your advanced notes of your replay watching.
Well, I mean, I don't know where to start now. So the scoreline was 10-34.
Yes.
So that was, I'm pretty sure, for if I'm attempting to remember from last week, I said it was going to be a closer game. I said a one-scoring game. And I'm pretty sure, actually, I said a three-point scoring game. Not just a...
I think we had the Texans scoring more points.
Yes.
And the Ravens not scoring as many points. I think it was very much a classic 24-21 situation.
Yeah.
We were looking at.
But obviously, that was not the case.
No. And the first half was really close, actually.
It was very even. It was very back and forth. I mean, both field goals were pretty much in the same spot. It was 53 yards for Tucker and 50 yards for Fairbairn. And to be honest, both fantastic kickers. I think I've had both of them in my fantasies throughout the years.
You have had both of them in your fantasy teams?
I do prefer Tucker.
Everyone prefers Tucker.
Actually, I don't think I had them this year, for once. I don't think I had any of them for once this year. They are my preferences for kickers because they're fantastic and they always make it. But yeah.
So yeah, the Ravens and the Texans were very close in the first half.
Very back and forth.
The second half, the Ravens were able to pull away from the Texans. A lot of injuries on the Texans within this game. Christian Harris, one of the linebackers from last year's draft, was injured very early in the second half. And he was playing as a spy on Omar Jackson. So the spy on the defense is basically the linebacker that will watch the quarterback.
All right.
For mobile quarterbacks, like you like if you have a spy linebacker, they're basically mirroring the quarterback. And then if they're going to run, then it's their job to tackle them. So for the first half, you didn't really see Lamar far on the ground.
He did tend to run more in the third and fourth quarter.
And when Christian Harris went out, that opened up the game for the run for Lamar Jackson. And you could see the difference between the teams there.
Well, Lamar did get a touchdown in the third and fourth quarter himself.
He did. He ran them in. That second one pretty much ended the game.
Yes.
For the Ravens. And the Ravens move on to the AFC Championship game.
Yes, they do.
For the first time since they've been there, the last time they were there, they lost to the Patriots, I believe.
Was that during the Tom Brady era or prior to the Tom Brady era? It was
during Tom Brady, yeah. Because they won the Super Bowl in 2013. Against the San Francisco 49ers. Because their head coach, John Harbaugh, his brother, was the head coach of San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, was this the game you were talking about last week?
Yes.
That he didn't change the plays?
No, that was the Bucks and Raiders game.
All right.
Yeah, that was different set of brothers, but the brother was not included in that. I'm getting off topic. Yeah, so the Ravens are back in the AFC Championship game. The Ravens have won the Super Bowl twice since moving from Cleveland. So they've actually done better than the Browns since moving from Cleveland, which is impressive. So they move on. And the second game that we had on Saturday, I'm presuming you don't have anything else to add on this game.
No, that was pretty much it.
So the second game that we had on was the worst game of the weekend, in my opinion, because it had two teams that I despise, the Green Bay Packers and San Francisco 49ers in the NFC.
Yes, 21-24.
Oh, a classic scoreline here.
Yes.
Classic scoreline. Was it a classic game?
It seemed to be. It was from the highlights, because I didn't watch this game whatsoever.
Neither of us watched this game until the Sunday morning when we woke up. Did you watch highlights on Sunday morning?
I think I watched the highlights, so I didn't.
So I had the full game on, well, being professional. Because it was good to see it, but not watch it.
To be honest, it looked like a very decent game to actually get to watch.
I have a few opinions about the game. I think the Green Bay Packers were the better team overall. However, there was a few mistakes that they made that cost them the game.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are saying that Brock Purdy isn't a good quarterback, but I don't believe that. I think he is a very good quarterback. He's done a fantastic job for the 49ers since he came in last year. And it pains me to say it, but he's very good. The whole he's a system quarterback and nothing else is pretty poor to say, because he's obviously doing things that other people weren't able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Purdy is a legit quarterback. He deserves to be a franchise quarterback.
I mean, to be honest, he's got his team to the championships, thank you. Championship. Exactly. So how can you really say he's not a good quarterback? If he wasn't making this and the 49ers were like not even making it to the wild card stage, yeah, sure. But if you're making it to the championships in 2 years in a row, you've got a good quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he's got a great supporting cast.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle.
Yep.
But there's other teams. It does come down to coaching as well, but there's other teams that have quarterbacks who are meant to be legitimate franchise quarterbacks who have the same kind of weapons, who get destroyed by the Raiders 63-10 and get their head coach fired. So, you know, yes, he's in a very good position, but he did, like Jimmy Garoppolo got injured, Trey Lance got injured last year. He came in and was able to do a better job than the two of them were doing when they were healthy. So, yeah, Brock Purdy is very good. He did get a wee bit lucky not to have interceptions in this game.
He was, yeah.
Luck does have things to do with football. Sometimes luck's on your side. Sometimes it's not. And that's why...
Yeah, but I mean, that is, it was, because obviously I think it was like 30 seconds to go on the clock and Love threw the pick. That's what ended the game. That ended the game. That was it. They had 30 seconds. Now, obviously, 30 seconds left of a game is not just 30 seconds. That could be like 5 minutes if you can run that ball out and stop the clock. And obviously, because Love threw that pick, that was it. That's the 49ers got lucky. It was pure luck. That game could have ended either way. It'd be nice to see what maybe Love could have done with that last 30 seconds. Because they were pretty sure they were both throwing deep balls at times as well. So it'd have been interesting with like a Hail Mary. And obviously the Packers have been well known for throwing Hail Marys with Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
And making the Hail Marys.
Yes, as Detroit Lions fans know all too well. So, the 49ers win here. They advance to the NFC Championship, because they're not in the AFC, they're in the NFC. So they advance to the NFC Championship, and that is both number one seeds in the championship games. And we move on to the Sunday games. And we start still in the NFC with possibly the game of the weekend, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Detroit Lions.
Yes, I was happy with the scoreline, 23-31, and I was very happy the Lions won. I don't know why I'm so... I don't know, I think it's like an underdog story.
Do you think it's just because they've been so rubbish for so long, and like they've not won a playoff game in 30 years? And it's Detroit, they went 0-16.
Yeah.
You know, like, come on, Detroit.
It's literally the underdog story that they're getting there. They're there. Obviously, there's always improvements that teams can make here, there, and everywhere. Calls, plays, that kind of thing. But yeah, I think it's the underdog story, and that's... I've got a bet for them to win the Super Bowl. I mean, it was pittance that I put on, but... I don't know, it's just like, you want them to make it. And they played really well against the Bucs. They were definitely the better team against the Bucs.
100%. And this game was electrifying to start with. It started off going...
3 minutes, pick after 3 minutes.
Yeah, they were just going for it from the off. It did settle down when we got... closer to the end of the first quarter into the second quarter. But for the good 10 minutes of the first quarter, both teams were just going for it, and it was great to watch.
I think as well for the Lions, they can do that. I think at this point, because they've been terrible for a long while and they've gotten here, they can play a bit more scrappy and play and do things that you wouldn't expect or... be a bit more ballsy, because even if they do lose, they've made it further than they have for years.
Yeah.
Even the fact that they made it here.
The fact that they've won the playoff game.
Yeah.
They've got that monkey off their back. Now it's a case of, right, you've won, you've gone to the championship game. Can you beat the San Francisco 49ers in California? And out of all the teams in the NFC, the Lions are probably one of the only teams out with the West Division that can beat the 49ers. I think because of the mentality that they have, they're not going to give up.
So no.
Even if they get down by 2 scores, they're not going to give up. They're going to keep on fighting. And Jared Goff has played the 49ers twice a season for 4 years because he was the Rams quarterback. So he knows the 49ers. Obviously, Kyle Shanahan was just coming in when Jared Goff was getting booted out. But he's still going to have that. It's the 49ers, it's the kind of players that they have. So there's a lot of familiarity, even though they don't play each other regularly.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things in this one was Frank Ragnow, the Detroit Lions center, who got injured in this game.
Was he not at the bottom of a pile on?
Yes.
Yeah, I seen that, yeah.
And he got rolled up on because Jared Goff got pushed into him. He sprained his MCL.
You can sprain an MCL?
Yeah.
You only hear of it getting torn.
Yeah, so apparently it's an MCL sprain. And some other stuff. And what I've heard is he went on to off to the sideline and the doctor's like, are you okay? You know, can you play? And he's like, yeah, I'm good, leave me alone. And then the head coach came over and this is the guy that's like, I don't care what you like, you're gonna get up and you're gonna fight and you're gonna keep on getting up and fighting, keep on getting up and fighting. And he's like, dude, are you okay? And he's like, I'm about 80%. And he's like, do you want to go? And he's like, that's not a question you're asking me, because I'm going. And he went back in, and I think it was the last touchdown that the Lions had, which was the run
mm-hmm.
at the goal line. And you can actually see Frank Ragnow push. He goes down onto his knee while he's pushing to make the hole. Another defender comes in, crashes into his leg. So he's writhing in pain, but he's still pushing, and they get in for the touchdown. And he just hobbles off, and he's just like, I'm so glad I'm doing this. It's that mentality that the Lions have.
Yeah.
That if you take that to San Francisco, you can beat them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be an interesting game on Sunday.
We shall be.
You're not going to get to see it because that's the 11:30 kick off. You might get to see something.
I'm going to see some of it. I might get to see a first quarter.
We'll see how you feel. And then the last game, unless you have anything else that you want to add on.
No, it was just the other thing that I had here was that it was another pick to end the game. Although this one wouldn't have changed the scoreline of the game. Because I think it wasn't that long left. It was only about a minute. I want to say this one had about a minute 20, a minute 30 left.
Yeah.
So even if they had managed to get the touchdown. Oh, no.
It was 8 points.
So yeah, if they'd gone for 2.4. Yeah. So it could have actually been. So been. Again, another pick that ended the game. So yeah. Exactly. But that was it. That was the only thing I had left.
Another thing, at Baker Mayfield, career year as a quarterback in yards, completion percentage, touchdowns. So he's done a fantastic job for Tampa Bay. And there are rumors that they are looking at a contract extension because he is a free agent. They're looking to. There's mutual interest between the Bucks and Baker Mayfield.
I will say, if that's the case. Do you know what? Does Evans contract? Because they seem to be quite a pair.
Mike Evans has been in the league for 10 years now. I saw him play. That was one of the highlights of the Panthers-Bucks game that we went to. Because that was a bad game. He has. It doesn't matter who his quarterback's been, he's always produced. So he's had quarterbacks that haven't been good. And he's still been able to make them look good. So yeah, he's had a great time with Baker. I think they get on quite well as well. So very interesting. I would think he's going to be around for a while still.
Hopefully. I mean, 10 years of getting bashed about.
Super Bowl champion as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's interesting. I would think he's still under contract. Game four. Game of the weekend. A game that I did a live stream watch along and forgot to mute the audio of the broadcast on the stream. So I ended up with 3/4 of the broadcast and not me talking.
I'm surprised you not had like any warnings on that video yet.
Yeah, we got 10 copyright strikes. So I've just
deleted it.
Yeah. I had the option to like mute it for like the time, because it wasn't the actual game, it was all the adverts, all the American adverts, and it was like, oh, that's the song, we need to like mute it for a minute and stuff. And I was just like, I just
delete.
Yeah, we'll try that again at some point, see how we go. That was a fun experience. We're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs on the road against the Buffalo Bills.
I think, apart from the Texans game, because I did kind of want the Texans to win, I knew it was a long shot if they were to win. But this was the one game that I did not want this result to happen. I really, really, really wanted Buffalo to win.
Is it you wanted Buffalo to win, or you wanted the Chiefs?
To be honest, I also wanted the Chiefs out.
The Patriots for you?
No. To be honest, though, they actually played better. They did come up to par, but I think they had to. I mean, you're playing the Buffalo Bills. If you're not on par, you're gone. So they did. I will say they did step it up. It's just because I just feel like the Chiefs don't deserve it this season. They haven't been playing the way they've been that they have in the past. If they win the Super Bowl, it's by sheer dumb luck that they've made it.
Yes. You also play your best football. If you play your best football in January and February, then you win the Super Bowl. If you get there,
mm-hmm.
you must have done something right in the regular season just to get into the
playoffs. Yes, that's the thing. They just got in. They were lucky that for some of the wins, but it's not the Chiefs that we're used to.
No.
And again, but I think the one thing that's peeved me off this season is more to do with the fact that it was no topic of conversation for anybody. Nobody was bashing the Chiefs. Because again,
a lot of people have been. You've just not been seeing
it. I've not just been seeing it. Yeah. Right, because I need to find these people then. Because
they're my people.
Unless it's just because obviously I've got like obviously Facebook show you stuff and things like that. But it's always constantly about, oh, Taylor Swift's at the stadium. And then you hear about that, like, actually it made Sky News that the biggest thing of one of the first games of the season wasn't to do with the fact that I think actually they lost. Did they lose? I can't remember. Or it was a very close game that they should have easily ran away with.
Is it the Jets game you're talking about?
I can't remember, but it was all about the fact that Taylor Swift was at the game. And even that's what Sky News was reporting on. Nothing else. It was about the fact that Taylor Swift was at
Yeah, but that Sky, you know, it's, they're trying to bring in the eyeballs. You know, that's what it is.
Right. Women aren't going to start watching football because Taylor Swift's at the game.
You might want to have a look at the viewing data in America.
Seriously?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, it ain't going to bring the viewers in here.
Okay, what's the number one top selling jersey in the UK?
I don't know.
Travis Kelce. What's number two?
Patrick Mahomes?
Jason Kelce. Number three?
Is this because people are just going for Kelce's now?
Possibly.
Why was it number
three? Mahomes. Then Jalen Hurts.
Why Eagles and Chiefs? Are we got lots of Eagles and Chiefs fans here?
Kelce. There you go. If you think of the popularity of the Kelce brothers over the last 2 years,
Have they increased in popularity?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I know they're doing a little podcasty thing together, but...
A little podcasty thing is a lot better than this one. And they've got sponsors and everything. You know, and they're like, oh, here we go. Proper setup and all that fun stuff. Yeah.
All I've ever seen is clips of it. I've never actually watched it. Just seen clips.
Basically, those big clips are the podcast.
Is that it?
Yeah. You put lots of those clips together and then for like an hour and that's the podcast. Yeah. That's basically two brothers talking about stuff. They just happen to be professional footballers.
Yeah.
Who are popular.
Mm-hmm. I know that because they were talking about a coach in one of the last ones I've seen. I don't think it was. I can't remember if it was. It might have been. But Jason was saying about how he was hearing things. So again, although it is kind of interesting because then it's a different perspective.
Yeah.
And obviously players are going to hear things that news reporters aren't going to hear, exactly. Presenters, even your people who can get into the nitty-gritty, players are going to hear things that don't get reported.
And they're
going
to know a lot more of, like, if something's gone wrong with what they're doing, then they're going to know the scheme and what actually went wrong, as opposed to someone just watching and going, oh, I think this is what's going wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely better. We're going off topic again, talking about New Heights.
So it was Chiefs Bills, that was 27-24.
Yes, and how did the game end?
A missed field goal within a decent field goal range. We're not talking like 50 yards or anything. It was, I want to say, within 30 yards. I can't remember what it was.
I think it was a 37 yard.
Yeah, which should have been, but I do believe there was high winds.
It was pretty windy.
So that would have thinned it, but again, it was the Bills. So he should be used to that windy weather anyway.
And they went wide right.
Yep.
So yeah.
A very painful way to end the game.
It is. And I think the Bills fans feel kind of the same way that the Cowboys fans feel. But I think they can feel a bit better about their team because they actually showed up in the playoffs and played really well. There's a lot of question marks about Stefon Diggs in the off-season. Could he be traded? Because he might not be fitting the system correctly. He might not be...
True, I feel like I haven't heard his name a lot this season.
Yeah.
So compared to previous seasons.
Has he declined as a player? That's also a question that's been put out there. I don't know what's gone on, if it's a scheme thing or if he's had any kind of injuries that have been niggling or anything like that. I don't know what's going on there, but it's one to watch. He has also been rumoured to be traded to the Cowboys because his brother plays for the Cowboys and there has been mutual interest in the past, apparently. So
that'd be interesting.
I don't see it happening. I think he'll stay in Buffalo. I think another season he'll be fine, is my opinion on that one. Yeah, but the Bills fans, obviously, high expectations, especially with the way they were playing for the last 8 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
They were riding the high. They could have won it. They were very close. I saw a stat from Marcus Mosher that Taylor Bass from the right hash mark where he kicked it was 74% completion, like success rate on the season, but on the left he had 90% success rate. So if they had just gone to the left on the last play before the field goal, instead of the right side of the lines, he'd have been kicking from the left hash, and they would have had a better chance of converting the field goal.
Okay.
So that's
interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those things that then you can be think about.
Angles and wind, sometimes wind probably plays into it as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, going from the left probably would have been good since it went wide right.
Yeah, it would probably gone in. Which would have meant we might have had an overtime.
Yes, which is what I was thinking we were going to have.
Yes, you did say that.
I'm kind of glad that we didn't have an overtime game because I was tired. I was like, I want this game to end, but I don't want the game to end. So it was a really good game.
I will say though, just because of what I've got written down here, was at the start of the game, Buffalo's defense did make some mistakes.
Yes.
They were letting players be wide open standing. I mean, literally, I think one of the first few plays of the game, Rice stood there. And I mean, it did take Mahomes a good about 5 to 10 seconds to actually throw the ball to him. And then he was just standing there, like 15 yards down. And I'm like, why is this man wide open? Why? This is a important game. Why is that dude not being manned? And even then, why is he still able to run a good couple of yards before somebody attempts to take him out? And it was the same as Kelsey got a touchdown that was wide open, and he got some runs in as well that were wide open.
Yeah. There was also an interesting play by the Bills here in the fourth quarter. So they're down by 3.
Mm-hmm.
And they decide to run a fake punt on their own 25, 30 yard line. Now, on the broadcast, it said it's because the Chiefs only had 9 players on the field. So they're like, right, we've got the advantage here in the player. But they didn't convert it. So they gave the Chiefs the ball back, and they're basically in the red zone. So the game should have been over there, but it wasn't because of a fumble that went through the end zone. So that was a touchback to the Bills, and there's been a lot of controversy about this rule, where if the offense fumbles the ball and it goes in the end zone, the defense get the ball back at the 20, and they take over. I've always been like, I think the offense should get the ball at the 20 instead of at the goal line, and it's first and goal from the 20. That's my thoughts. I've kind of had another thought about that based on this game, because this was a forced fumble.
Okay.
So this is where my interpretation of the rule and what it should be gets a little bit complicated. If the offense fumble themselves and it goes out of the end zone, they get the ball back at the 20 and it's first and goal. But if the defense make a play and they force a fumble that goes out the end zone, they get the ball. And I think that's a fair way to do that, because you're rewarding the defense for making a play.
Mm-hmm.
But if the offense are going for a touchdown and he drops the ball before he gets there, and it just so happens to go out of bounds in the end zone, they should get the ball back. That's my thoughts on that one. We can talk about that more in the off season if we want to.
What, changing rules? I like to.
Yeah.
You know me, I want to change a few rules. Although, I got a punt return.
You did get a punt
return. I did return.
Yeah.
I did. Although not in that game. It was Texans game.
It was a very good.
It was.
Weekend for touchdowns. Okay, so that's us finished with the recap. The games are set for this weekend, and it is the Chiefs at Ravens and Lions at 49ers. They are 8 o'clock and 11:30 on Sunday night, the UK time, on Sky Sports NFL and on Game Pass.
I will probably see some of the first game. Can't guarantee how much. I will be Googling the scoreline on Monday morning as I'm waking up to get ready for work.
Yes. Do you want to dive into those games just now?
Yeah, why not? Let's go.
Okay. Ravens. Chiefs.
Ravens.
What a surprise.
To be honest, though, I actually think the Ravens can be the Chiefs. I think
they can.
The Ravens have definitely been playing a lot better. And they've also, I don't know, I think they've got the better team. I think they can do it. And their defense, I think their defense can really cause some problems for Mahomes.
I think you're absolutely right. I do think that the pass rush that the Chiefs have is probably better than the other teams that the Ravens have faced. More experienced than the Texans, so they'll be able to survive longer against the offensive line. The Ravens don't play in the wild card because they got the bye. So I think the Chiefs' pass rush will be a better matchup for the Chiefs than the Texans' pass rush was for the Texans. Deep balls, a little bit concerned about the ability that the Ravens have here against the Chiefs, because the Chiefs have some concerns in the secondary with injuries. So if the pass rush doesn't get home, you could see some deep balls coming out of Lamar Jackson here to Zay Flowers or Rashad Bateman, I would think, would be the two most likely. Odell Beckham was playing as wide receiver 4 on Saturday behind Nelson Aguilar. So that was interesting. Because Nelson Aguilar is famous for not being able to catch things. But has had a pretty good season for the Ravens. He's got a few touchdowns. He's done really well. It's going to come down to the tight end, I think. The Ravens are finally getting Mark Andrews back by the looks of things. And they have Isaiah Likely as well as tight end number 2. I think their tight ends match up better than Travis Kelce and Noah Gray. Noah Gray has been okay in the Chiefs offense, but he's had quite a lot of drops. And I think the drops are going to cause the issues for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I still think the Chiefs will somehow win, even though these things are against them. And I think it's just going to be able to come back on how they run the ball. Isaiah Pacheco has been on the injury list as well. So that's a concern, because Edwards-Helaire has not played well at all this season. But if Pacheco is fit enough to play to the potential, then he can get some explosive runs in on this one. I think the Chiefs are going to take this one, and I'm going to go 27-28.
Ooh, one.
Yes.
Wow. I'll just go the opposite way. Well, I do think it'll be a close game.
Yeah.
Because both teams are also quite evenly matched as well. So obviously I think defense-wise, defenses are definitely going to have to step up. And again, I think the Ravens have the better defense against the Chiefs. Again, just man Kelce. The Chiefs have nothing.
You don't believe in Rashee Rice?
I mean, if he's standing wide open in the middle of a field, sure, yeah. Yeah, the man can catch a ball. I mean, if nobody's around you, then, I mean, unless you've got some butterfingers, you should be able to catch it.
Well, it's topical in Kansas City, so.
But no. I mean, last weekend, Kelce seemed to also step up as well.
Yeah, he seems to be getting better.
He was.
Going on.
I want to say he was like 3 touchdowns in that game, was he not? No, I can't be right.
Two.
But he had some actual other good catches as well throughout the game. So I think as long as you've got Kelce manned, I don't actually think the Chiefs can. The Chiefs won't have anything. my opinion.
So are you going?
I think, again, it will be a close game. Probably at least within the three points.
But you don't want to commit to a score.
I never commit to scores.
Okay. <that's fine.
laughs> There you go. 21-20. There you go.
21-20.
No, 21. No, no, no. 21. No, let's go 24-21.
24-21. The classic 24-21.
We'll just do that.
Okay.
To the Ravens.
You'll have three touchdowns and a field goal to win. Okay, the next game, the NFC Championship.
A game I will not see anything of.
The Detroit Lions and the San Francisco 49ers. What are your thoughts?
I might actually watch this game when I come home. I might see what the scoreline is and go, I'm going to watch that whole game. Or I might go, yep, no. Let's just watch the highlights. I don't know.
Because I feel like I talked about this quite a bit on the Lions recap.
Yeah.
So I really just want to know what your thoughts are on this one.
Would I like to see the Lions win? Yes.
Do you think they will?
No.
Why not?
Just the experience. And, like...
The playoff experience.
Yeah. Well, not even that. Some, I mean, they do have good players on their team. Obviously, Goff has been...
Goff's been to the Super Bowl.
Goff's been to the Super Bowl.
The lowest scoring Super Bowl of all time. 10-3.
Yes, I've seen that. I have said that.
You have watched that game.
I did watch that game.
Yeah. I'm surprised that you remember it, because it was not memorable at all.
When was it?
That was 2017?
Okay.
I think.
I can't remember 2017, I can tell you that.
I'm trying to think. What was it? 2017, 2018.
Okay.
One of them.
I don't know. I just... The 49ers are technically the better team. They've got Kittle. They've got McCaffrey. Purdy. A whole bunch of other dudes that I can't think of their name at the moment. So they're just going as other dudes. And although, yes, the Lions are doing really well, I think if anything, if the Lions play scrappy... Like, just go all out, throw in random things here, there, and everywhere, completely thrown off the 49ers, they might win.
Okay.
So it'd be interesting just to just go for it. No logic, just go. Make daft plays, make plays that they're not going to think, oh, no, he's not going to plan to do that. Like... Be the unexpected, and then it is a possibility. Although 49ers defense is a defeat to get through as well. So it
is. And Fred Warner is an absolute beast in that linebacker spot.
Yep.
Yeah, if you're trying to go through the middle on the 49ers, it's going to be really difficult. You need to attack the outside. That's the way that their defense is set up. Basically, you can allow things on the outside, but the inside, the middle of the field, that's a no go basically.
And to be honest, Goff isn't a big runner either.
No, I mean he's quite athletic.
Yeah,
he's surprisingly athletic.
He doesn't run
a lot, but if he has to, he can do it.
Yeah. Then that might play to his advantage as well, because if he has to run. And it's unexpected again, playing scrappy and doing the unexpected might actually throw them off.
I think the good thing that the Lions have here, they have Montgomery and Gibbs and the running back. You could, and they've just signed Zach Ertz as well this week.
But will he be playing?
So he's probably going to be playing, yeah.
Are you allowed to play later?
Yeah.
All right. I presume they would have to wait till the season's finished.
No, they send them to the practice squad. So any veteran who has as a free agent can sign with a team to play. So like you could technically sign someone before this weekend, not play them this weekend, but if you get to the Super Bowl, you can play them.
So you can play one game with this new team and win yourself a Super Bowl. Wow. Okay.
I mean, Odell Beckham basically came in for the playoffs with the Rams, won a Super Bowl by going out at halftime with an ACL injury. So, you know, these things happen. I think the Lions having the running backs, if they're able to get them out in space, and again, as I was saying, attack the outside, if they have the running backs going wheels and screen passes, because the 49ers' weakness is the cornerbacks, you've got a better chance of big explosive plays. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs is super fast. If you can get the right blocking to get him on a screen pass, he could go out and just go.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like to see all of those plays, and I think Aiden Hutchinson's going to have a massive game on the Lions' defense. I think Purdy's going to get hit quite a bit. I think that might shake him a bit, because you've seen how the Browns game specifically, he did get hit quite a bit. And obviously it was raining and stuff, so there was probably the weather aspect as well. But he did seem a bit phased in the Cleveland game. So I think the Lions will draw on that, because the Browns beat the 49ers.
Yeah.
Because the 49ers missed the field goal and ruined my survivor for the season. So I think if the Lions focus on the weak points of the 49ers and attack them, they'll have a better chance. But I don't have the Lions winning, I have the 49ers winning.
True. To be honest, if they do, I want to find a way to get to Vegas. If the Lions get through, I want to find a way to get to Vegas.
You're like, sorry, Rachel, I'm not coming to your Super Bowl party. I'm going to Vegas instead. To be fair, I should probably go, get me a flight.
I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine the Lion fans descending on Vegas? That's going to be crazy.
It would be crazy.
Some of these guys will probably think they're actually like in a dream, like they're gonna wake up and they've just gone 0-16 again.
Wow. How was that? Okay, so yeah, I'm gonna have the 49ers win this one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that they win it 27-16.
That seems quite reasonable, to be honest. That seems what a scoreline that I could see happening. I'm not gonna pick a score for this because I have no idea. But if anything, if I think it goes down to the Lions winning, it'll be a very tight game. I do not see the Lions being able to pull ahead, be up. If anything, the Lions might only ever be up by, say, for instance, the touchdown, because they've just scored the touchdown. That's about it. I don't see them being able to pull 10, 12 ahead.
So it'll be like a last minute field goal winner.
Oh. Nah, if we're talking last minute field goal winners, I want that clock to hit zero as that ball goes through the uprights.
Well,
now that's all.
That made me think of what could possibly happen in the Super Bowl if the Lions and the Ravens got there, because
have you got is that 66 yards
in 2021? Justin Tucker, the kicker for the Ravens, one of your favourite kickers,
yes,
kicked a 66 yard field goal as time expired to beat Detroit in 1917. The epic kick bounced off the crossbar before it tumbled through the uprights, which only added to the drama. Imagine we get a Ravens-Lions Super Bowl.
And what, and that's the it final play?
Opposite to me. It's a 66-yarder for the Ravens to win it. And Justin Tucker misses.
No. To be honest, I don't...
The Lions fans would hate the field goal with Justin Tucker being a 66. It would just bring this back. And if he missed it, they would be like, this is so much better.
There would have to be something to go really wrong for Tucker to miss his field goal, or we're attempting another 66-yarder. Because, I mean, anything above 60, you don't really tend to see. Actually, anything above 55 is a bit a no-go area. But Tucker has been known, obviously, he's known been known to do a 66-yarder, but Tucker can do up to the high 50s. I mean, he had 56.
He's just...
And he also does it with ease. He still has yards on the ball. It's not like it just goes in. He's still hitting that net, even at 56 yards. So, actually, I'm not surprised he managed to make 66.
So, yeah, I just thought that would be a very interesting way to end the Super Bowl. If those teams make it in opposite world of where I am. But obviously, it's going to be the 49ers and Chiefs and a rematch of the 2019 Super Bowl. Which?
Does that not go for the colour theory thing?
No, it would be the Ravens 49ers with the colour theory. Because of the purple and red.
But the Chiefs are red.
So are the 49ers.
So wouldn't it still be the colour theory? Or can we not have both of them? No, we can't have Ravens.
You would no, because the Ravens are the purple.
Uh-huh.
And the purple and red.
Yes.
So the two colours represent the two teams.
Yes. Oh no, we can't. Right. Sorry, no.
So you can't have the red represent both teams and the purple represent no teams. That wouldn't work. So it has to be the Ravens for the purple and it has to be the 49ers for the red.
Right now, hold on. Who's playing who this weekend again?
The Ravens are playing the Chiefs.
Right, okay, right. That's why we can't have it, because it's not the 49ers Chiefs. They're not playing. As in, that's where I was, don't know why I was thinking that.
The Ravens and the Chiefs are in the AFC, and the 49ers and the Lions are in the NFC. And then the winner of both games will advance to the Super Bowl, which is the winner of the AFC versus the winner of the NFC.
I am aware of that, but for a minute in my...
I just wanted to explain it for anyone that's listening that isn't aware of it. Because obviously there might have been some confusion there.
No, for some reason I had the fact that the Chiefs were playing the 49ers.
I was talking about the Lions and the Ravens playing.
Probably.
Yeah, but I apologise for the confusion. But there we go. We have covered the divisional games. We've gone through the conference games. Have we got anything else to talk about this week?
The
answer is yes, we do.
Yes, the head coaches.
Head coaches. Favourite time. Okay. So.
And a way to get me to Vegas.
What has happened with the head coaches?
So what was it? The Chargers have a head coach now?
Yes.
They have Jim Harbaugh.
That's correct. Jim Harbaugh, brother of John Harbaugh, head coach of the Ravens.
Ooh.
So, that's a very interesting one. Jim Harbaugh has been obviously teasing an NFL return for the last 4 years.
So, almost since he left.
Basically.
Semi.
So, he was with the 49ers. As the head coach, as we said previously, got to the Super Bowl, lost his brother and the Ravens, fell out with the management in San Francisco. So 49ers went into a tailspin for 3 years when he left. They were dreadful, which was amazing. He went to Michigan, which was the college that he was at, and has won the college football championship this year. So obviously he has returned his college to national glory and he is now leaving with the ultimate babyface path of we have brought back a championship. I'm now off to go to LA and coach the LA Chargers, a team that he played for when he was an active player.
I don't think he's going to get a Super Bowl though with the Chargers.
You don't think he's going to get a Super Bowl?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, he's
he might have to do some improvements to the Chargers team, although it's all right, but it's not the best.
No, and they have some questions at wide receiver. Keenan Allen, I believe his contract is up. I think he's becoming a free agent. Obviously, a lot of them are injured most of the time, so I don't know if they're going to have a look at their medical stuff. That might be an idea, but I think I've said that a few times and nothing's ever happened.
I think if people are getting injured, they look at their warm-ups.
So, yeah, there's a lot of that going on in LA with the Chargers, a lot of injuries. I also think there's a lot of controversy around Harbaugh from his time in Michigan. So there was a lot of cheating accusations this season in the college football with sign stealing and all the college football so much.
Oh, was that
NFL. Yeah, this is the one that Pat McAfee was talking about, the signs and stuff that we watched weeks ago that you were confused about.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Lots of stuff going on there.
I was about to say something else, but then I realised that was actually like our football soccer when they had like people spying at the training grounds.
No, that would be Bill Belichick that would do that. Because he's done that before.
I mean, technically they're open.
No, they were closed training sessions.
Which ones? The ones Bill Belichick was at or the football ones that I was talking about?
Players were. Or Patriots Caps were recording.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least do it open ones. Then I mean, technically, if they're open, anyone can go.
That's right.
Take advantage.
So the Chargers obviously get Jim Harbaugh, a big target for them, a big hire, maybe the biggest hire of the carousel so far, because there's a big name out there that doesn't have a job yet.
Bill Belichick.
That's correct. He's only interviewed with the Falcons.
And they're still not giving him the job yet. They're still thinking about it.
And the Falcons are hiring.
Ooh.
Yeah. This was news that broke after I'd written all these things about the... After I sent you what I wanted to talk about tonight. The Falcons are hiring Rams defensive coordinator Raheem Morris as their next head coach. This was reported about 2 hours ago now from when we're recording this. He was the assistant head coach in Atlanta in 2020 and served as interim head coach then when Dan Quinn got fired. He then obviously has been in LA for this past season. Had done exceptionally well with the Rams defense that was pretty much on its knees. Lost a lot of people in free agency. Obviously, Jalen Ramsey is no longer there. So, no, Jalen Ramsey is still there. No, he's not. He's in Miami.
You're looking at me.
Yeah.
Half the time, these old players blend into each other. I can't.
You're just a catch the ball person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, I know some of their names, but the majority of the time it's just dude. Just dude. And that's pretty much for any sport. I can't remember all the players. I mean, these have huge rosters. How you remember all these names are beyond me. If I didn't have them written down, Lord save me. Like, I mean, half the time as well as you say a name and I'm like, okay. No idea who you're talking about. I would just nod along though.
Fair enough. So this is a new one for Atlanta. Kind of going back to where they were. I think they did pretty well with Raheem Morris when he was the interim head coach as well. Their defense was still good back then. They were just not clicking effectively on offense, and they had to. They were still hungover from the Super Bowl loss as well, 28-3 situation. So Raheem Morris goes to Atlanta. That's a good hire in my opinion.
So what happens to Belichick? Is he...
Well, that makes me a bit fearful because there's now only two positions open.
Which is...
Seattle and Washington. And I don't see him going to Seattle.
I don't see him going to Washington.
Well, he's not had an interview and they are interviewing a lot of people. So this is what makes me nervous.
Why are you nervous about him going to Washington?
I'm not. I'm nervous about him not getting a job.
Why?
Because Mike McCarthy is going into the last year of his contract in Dallas. So Bill Belichick sits out a year looking for fresh opportunities in 2025.
But you said something about Jerry Jones, did you not?
I say a lot of things about Jerry Jones.
You said something about Belichick and Mike McCarthy. Or was it just the fact that they weren't changing?
They're not changing.
Was that it?
Yeah, but Mike McCarthy only has 1 year left of his contract.
But then if he's doing well for the team, then isn't he more likely to then be asked to stay on?
Well, that's the thing. I would think if we don't make the NFC Championship game next season,
okay,
be out of a job. And I'm worried that they're going to hire Bill Belichick to come in. I could be unfounded in my concerns here. But yeah.
I'll take him then.
Makes me nervous. There have been two other teams that have hired head coaches this week.
Yep.
Who are they?
Panthers and the Titans.
Okay. So the Panthers, who did they hire?
I don't really want to butcher his second name because I can't remember what you said his second name was.
David Canales.
Dude, that's it. Thank you.
So he was the offensive coordinator with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes.
This year.
I was about to say Cincinnati Bengals, but that's the next dude.
Yeah, skipping ahead of the process. So yeah, the Bucs offensive coordinator is staying in the division as a head coach, moving to Carolina. And he gets to work his magic with Bryce Young because, as we said earlier, had a career year with Baker Mayfield. He was in Seattle the year before that as a quarterback's coach with Geno Smith, who had
a good year.
He's been with Seattle for a long time. So he actually started as a coach in USC with Pete Carroll in 2006. And then when Pete Carroll went to Seattle...
Did he go with him?
He went with him. And he was an assistant there until he moved on to Tampa Bay this year. So he gets a new job as the head coach of the Panthers. I think this is a great hire for the Panthers. They've... clearly knows what to do with quarterbacks because he's got him working with Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield. Great for Bryce Young. Hopefully he can get the best out of him. Offensive minded, but has shown that it can work, especially in the division. They've just won the division with the Bucs offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really good hire for them. He's also a Hispanic coach as well. So I believe he is half Mexican. So
okay,
that's a nice hire for diversity within the NFL. I think he is also the first of Mexican heritage to be a head coach in the NFL.
Okay.
So pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff there. I just hope the Panthers are able to get stuff going. They also hired a head general manager this week as well, a former player. former linebacker, Dan Morgan, who has done a lot of stuff in the scouting department. So once he finished playing, he went to Seattle as well.
Same time?
It was around the same time, yeah. And he went through the organizational side and built up that way. So
it'll make an interesting team then.
Interesting.
Panthers might be one to watch out for.
Definitely. And they've got a good defense as well. So if they can just build on that offense and bring in some pieces on defense, a very good show here. And the next one, as you said, was the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Is someone from Cincinnati.
Yes, Brian Callahan, the Cincinnati's offensive coordinator.
Ooh, very nice. So he's obviously worked with Joe Burrow and Jake Browning this year. He's done a lot of work there. Is there any reason to be concerned about his hire in Tennessee?
Well, my thing was that when I was obviously having a wee search about him, that I found out that he didn't call any of his plays. I found that really weird, because I presume they're the dudes who make the plays. So wouldn't it be a bit worrying that he's about to be a head coach who didn't make plays?
So he would have made the plays. So he'd be involved in the scheming of the plays and making the plays and teaching the plays. So he would do all the game plan and the work there with the head coach, because Zach Taylor's the play caller in Cincinnati. I think he's always been the play caller since he's been the head coach as well.
Hmm.
So it's basically he does all the work, and then Zach Taylor goes, these are the plays I'm going to call from your work.
Yeah, it just says here that the way we've worked in Cincinnati, very collaborative.
Yeah.
It's just strange in my opinion. You think he'd be calling some plays, but...
Normally, they do like to have some play calling, experience there. But a lot of people haven't called plays and gone in to be pretty well. They're pretty good stuff.
I'll be interested to see what then Cincinnati do as well.
So Cincinnati are elevating their quarterback coach, Dan Pitcher, to offensive coordinator. He was rumored to be on everyone's list for new offensive coordinators. So the fact that he's staying in Cincinnati is a good sign for their developer. The only concerning thing is when he is talking to the what's his name? Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, that it'll be a pitcher and catcher setup.
I feel like you're looking at me going, you should get that, but I really don't. I don't know.
Pitcher and catcher. Okay.
I feel like we should be watching baseball now.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Another thing I like about this hire in Tennessee is his father. Brian Callahan's father is Bill Callahan, offensive line genius. So he's
for the Titans.
Here is the thing, and this is, there are some question marks about this one. He was with the Cowboys for 2 years, offensive line, best in the league. Went to Washington, offensive line, top three.
I was going to say, if you're about to say best in the league, this is Washington we're talking.
Yeah, top three. He's with Cleveland just now. Their offensive line has been...
Their offensive line is very good.
This season. He is one of the best offensive line coaches. The question is Cleveland going to make him stay in Cleveland if he wants to go to Tennessee to join his son? Or did they let him go? It's a very interesting one to see.
The only problem with that is, would father be able to take... What's the word?
Obviously,
obviously
the dynamic of family and then professional football.
Yeah.
So that's another...
I don't know if I'd want that in my organisation, especially with it being Sun on top. I don't know. It might work the other way slightly better, but again, you are still getting into that family dynamics. Do you then want that?
Well, okay, the Patriots with Bill Belichick and his two sons, Brian and Steve, being coaches.
How long have they been coaches for the past 3 years?
I think it's a bit longer than that.
Oh, that's all right then. I mean, so it has worked, but again, it depends on your family dynamics, the way you work. He might have different ways of working that doesn't clash. Again, yeah. It depends. Although you would kind of expect that he'd probably have similar ways of working as his father, so it could make for a really strong Tennessee. But, I don't know.
I mean, they definitely need offensive line help because their offensive line is terrible. But he also said in his press conference that he's looking forward to making it fun to come to work, which I think has been missing in Tennessee under Mike Vrabel, because he was very much a patriot in every single way. So... Tennessee might have some fun and then be happier playing. So that's another interesting one to keep an eye on. And as we said, Seattle and Washington are the two teams left to hire head coaches. Dan Quinn is having a second interview with Washington Commanders. Fingers crossed. I'm still not forgiving him for the wild card. Seattle are doing their due diligence on other interviewees.
Mm.
So another interesting one to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Not heard a lot about the Lions coordinators this week.
Oh, so they're still...
So it's just the... coordinators for the Lions and the defensive coordinator for the Ravens, their names have just kind of fallen away from the head coaching thing.
Maybe they've also then decided they want to stay with possibly their current representative teams.
Possibly.
Or they didn't get the jobs that they actually really wanted. Because sometimes, obviously, some people might interview for other teams to make them look more appealing for a team to try and take.
Yeah.
Because you want to, oh, I want to take him. That they're my division rivals. I won't let them have him, kind of thing. So it might be that technically the job's already gone, maybe? Or that the fact that, they are both looking for towards the Super Bowl more than anything.
Yeah.
Well, only one of them are making, no. No, they both can make it.
They can both make it.
They can both
make it. Them can make it, yeah. Other coordinator news. The Eagles have let go of their defensive coordinator and their offensive coordinator. With that news, the Miami defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, one of the greatest defensive schemers, has left Miami.
Is this the dude you... No, this isn't the dude who... Oh, no, because the other dude you said went down to Miami and hasn't informed his team if he's staying or if he's going or if he's retired or what.
He's just been down before. He's gone. The Giants defensive coordinator is...
Is he gone?
but Vic Fangio was rumoured to be going to Philadelphia last year because he has family in Pennsylvania. But it didn't work out. So he went to Miami. He's now left Miami and he's going to Philly. So Philadelphia are going to have one of the better defensive coordinators in the league again, which is bad news for us.
Oh, it's fine for me. I mean, if nothing's changing in my team through this offseason, then I know how my season's gone.
Changing. You're not going to have Saquon anymore.
So we're going downhill then. So I know exactly what's happening. Maybe we might go to 1-16 and something might actually wake up in that organisation and go, yeah, we really need to do something. Like, get a good quarterback who's not just in it for the money.
Not saying a thing.
Well, he got his contract and now he's terrible again. He was terrible, he was told he was about to lose his job. Well, suddenly he can play football and now he can't. Oh, look at that. Why? What changed? Oh, he no longer has the threat of losing his job. It's amazing what people can do with the threat of losing their job. Losing their job.
So what I'm hearing is that you want a Daniel Jones jersey.
No.
No?
No, and I know you haven't ordered me one. I should do that. No. My second t-shirt is a Saquon. So I might actually need to get another t-shirt. But don't you dare buy me a Jones t-shirt. No. I'll go back to wearing my Manning t-shirt. I don't even have a Manning t-shirt. I'll actually go buy me a Manning t-shirt. I'll go get that one. It's a bit my Odell Beckham shirt I have.
It is, yeah.
So I haven't even had a quarterback shirt because, although technically, but then Eli was declining when I started supporting.
Very much so.
And then we've had no luck since.
Well, you went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah, because a dude was threatened that he was about to lose his job. Keep him on the tenterhooks. Go from a year-to-year contracts. See, this is why sometimes long contracts shouldn't exist.
Yeah, but you've got the salary cap. That's not gonna. It's not gonna work.
Why? Salary cap works on year to year, does it not?
Yeah, but you can manipulate it by longer term contracts over the years and bonuses and all that stuff.
Maybe it should be a full rule. No long term contracts. You play year to year for your job. What would we get with that? Oh. I mean, your coaches and all that, yeah, they can have their thingies. It's different for coaches than it is for players. But yeah, let's scrap it. Year-to-year contract for your players. It also makes for like free agency very interesting as well.
Well, this is true. It would make free agency very interesting because you'd just be able to go wherever you wanted. I don't think they would get that rule passed.
No, probably not.
Because the owners would be like, eh, no thank you. We want to keep the players that we want. Imagine the quarterbacks. Like, year to year. And then they're like, Patrick Mahomes is like, oh, they're offering me $60 million this year. What are you going to do? Oh, here's 65. Oh, but they're coming with 70. They're like, well, we only have $250 million for our salary cap, so.
But don't all teams have the same amount for their salary cap?
Yeah.
So. Somebody's getting undervalued there. That means somebody's getting undervalued, though. And also, technically, quarterbacks always don't always make the team.
Patrick Mahomes would make the team, though.
Not necessarily. I mean, if he's got nobody to throw it to.
So you're saying that you would take... Are you saying you would take Daniel Jones over Patrick Mahomes?
No, I don't take Patrick
Mahomes. Who would you take over Patrick Mahomes?
I don't know. To be honest, if it's swapping out Daniel Jones, I'll take anybody. Almost.
Bryce Young?
Sure.
Okay.
That was Panthers, wasn't it?
Yeah. With a 2-15 record this year.
Still, he might do better in New York. You never know. Daniel Jones is not the way to go for the Giants, so I can already see where my season's heading next year. 1-16. If they're not doing anything and getting rid of players, yeah, we're just going to keep going downhill. And keep going downhill. And keep going downhill.
Well, I think this is a good podcast.
I'm telling you, I'm going swapsies with my team.
You're going to Cleveland?
Nah, I'm going Lions. Technically, actually, I should be able to get the Dolphins. I know technically, like, in our group, it is only supposed to be one person per team, but technically, the original Dolphin person really isn't part of the group anymore. So technically, I think I should be allowed to resort back to my original choice, which was the Dolphins, because I based it off of logos.
But,
and then location, because that's why we ended up in New York.
Our Dolphin fan has supported the Dolphins for longer than you have supported the Giants.
So?
So the 10-year supporting...
We could then have two Dolphins fans.
No. No. And we already have a Lions fan.
No, you said the younger generation didn't count, so technically... I could be a Lions fan.
Yeah, it's either the Jags or the Bears. Those are the two choices.
Why the Jags? When did the Jags come in?
Because they were also terrible. When we decided if you want to give up on your team, you have to support the Bears or the Jags.
I'd be half tempted with the Jags, to be honest, yeah.
At least they would make London.
I know.
You just have to go to Wembley, though.
I'll go to Wembley. I don't mind Wembley. I like going to Wembley. I'd love for the fact that if we were able to actually go to all three games, that'd be cool, but we can't because I only get 2 weeks in the holidays. But yeah, I wouldn't mind. I'd be fine with that. It'd be really expensive though. I wouldn't mind going to Wembley. Although Wembley is always the game that's not on the holidays.
Yeah. Well, that's something for you to think about.
No, I'll probably still stick with the Giants because I still want to go to New York. Which is the only reason why I support them. That's why they got picked, because they were in New York.
If you had thought about it, you could have been Bills.
To be honest, I don't know, because I originally went off logos. So, obviously, I picked the Dolphins and there was another... Who else did I go? I picked another team, did I not? Before I got to the Giants, I'm pretty sure I picked somebody else.
Yeah,
the
Bengals.
Was it the Bengals?
Yeah.
And then, nobody else was, like, decent badges. So I went, right, where are they? Oh, New York. I'm in. They're not even actually in New York. They're in New Jersey. But I'd still have to go to New York, which is my goal.
That's a fascinating insight to your
picking of a team.
Yeah. Right, let's end the podcast here. Let's get to bed. Since it's 1:45 in the morning. Yeah, fun times. Well, thank you for joining me for this podcast. If you're listening, please rate us. Hopefully 5 stars. Follow us. We're on Facebook, X, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. Mainly This Offensive Line is the handle. On X, you can't have so many characters, so it's This OL Podcast. Because Elon Musk. But yeah, thank you for listening. Until next week. Bye.
Bye.